Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of April 30th, 2015. Today we're joined by our frequent guest and co-host, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Great to have you with us, as always. So, D.R., earlier, I guess it was last week, over in Hartford, Connecticut, not so far from us here in Massachusetts, the New England governors got together for a meeting. Now, if you're not familiar with the geography of New England, maybe you're living in a different country or something, the six or seven New England states are crowded upon each other. You can almost walk across Rhode Island in a day. So there's lots of political boundaries in what amounts to a sort of a geographic region that's bound up in many ways by the geography. And so it's a good idea for those governors to get together once in a while and talk about common issues. And in fact, about 10 years ago, then governor of Massachusetts, his name was Mitt Romney at the time, got together with all those governors and the Eastern Canadian premiers, in fact. Almost the upper northeastern quadrant of the continent all got together, and they came up with the idea of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which has since turned into a model of climate activism, right? So, DR, let me ask you, what the heck happened in Hartford this past week?
Well, it appears that times have changed for the worse, because on April 23rd at the meeting in Hartford, five of the six New England governors, the sixth one, Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, wasn't able to make it due to a funeral, basically had a little confab where they basically embraced the conventional wisdom that New England doesn't have enough natural gas capacity and natural gas pipeline infrastructure, and therefore we need more fracked gas. And also they talked about the alleged benefits of Canadian hydropower, and basically seemed to give short shrift to the idea that we have to move all in on a clean energy future.
And that's a disappointing kind of prospect for climate hawks, and I think for people of goodwill who thought that Charlie Baker had some kind of a vision. But he, as you say, he's come back with this, I think he's calling it all options approach instead of the all of the above. That's not good, because basically what it does is it puts at risk Massachusetts' progress towards the Global Warming Solutions Act success there. And basically what Baker has done by this kind of attitude shift is freeze us on a track of old-style dirty energy, which in this case would be natural gas pipelines. And I don't think it's a good thing.
And there are a number of people raising the issue, not only people outside protesting, and in one case inside protesting the fact that this is a short-sighted idea. But there are also a number of letters to the editor in the Boston Globe a couple of days after the conference from people saying that, number one, you know, how can these guys call for more expanded pipeline capacity when the pipelines we already have are leaking left and right. and are just spewing methane and causing all sorts of potential havoc? And number two, how can they say that more natural gas infrastructure is needed when there is so much evidence saying that insulation and energy efficiency would solve the energy problem in New England rather than more fracked gas, basically?
But for me, was that at least Governor Baker is prepared to ask ratepayers, that is to say electricity users like you and me, to pay a surcharge in order to build these pipelines, which is at the very least, I think, unfair, because there's, as you say, there's leaks that could be fixed that we ought to be putting our money into before we build new pipelines, and the idea that this stuff conceivably would be exported. right, when enough comes through. So now the ratepayers are going to pay for the pipeline that allows the gas companies to bring the gas through and send it off to some other country at a profit for them and not for us. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. And it, how interesting is that, that Baker was the guy who said during the controversy over the issues with public transportation that he starts off from the premise that the residents of Massachusetts are taxed enough already, yet he seems to be embracing this idea that will impose a de facto tax on residents of Massachusetts. This is literally taxation without representation. And the fact that Baker seems to be embracing this idea is
inconsistent, I think.
It defies logic.
Well, I guess some of the other things to think about are the other big source of energy at play in the New England region is the following, is that under the Global Warming Solutions Act that was signed into law in 2008 in Massachusetts, because we're trying to reduce carbon emissions, electricity from Hydro-Québec up, which is a huge hydroelectric plant up in north of in the province of Quebec, pretty far up, that power has to be routed down into the New England area, which of course means primarily Boston, because that's where all, but it has to be routed across Vermont and New Hampshire, who I don't think are particularly pleased with having yet another big pipeline or several, not pipeline, big power lines march across their pristine landscape, right? So there's some opposition from even among the governors squabbling about what the best way to do this is, right?
Mm-hmm. And it goes to show you the dangers of sort of short-sighted thinking and conventional wisdom thinking. As I read these stories about this sort of conference, I couldn't help but drawing a parallel between the apparent, you know, insiders and conventional wisdom types surrounding all these governors and the insiders and conventional wisdom types surrounding President Obama and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. In both cases, you have basically advisors who aren't thinking long term telling the people they advise to think short term. And in both cases, you know, the rest of the society is going to pay for the long term consequences in both cases. It's like, you know, we elect people with the idea that they will think, you know, ahead. And yet when they are surrounded by people who are thinking behind or potentially not thinking at all, it causes a whole lot of problems.
Right. There's I guess the other point that I would make about this New England Governors Conference is at least there was one quote, I think it was in Commonwealth Magazine and also in the Globe, that basically renewable energies is fine, but they're not going to materialize, I think was the word. They're not going to come online soon enough, and so we have to build this pipeline. To which my response is that the renewable energy can come online as fast as we make it come online, and that if we
exactly.
make the commitment to build these things, then all of a sudden it will happen. And if we sit back and choose not to do it because we like pipelines better, then yeah, it's going to take a long time to build renewable energy into the system.
Exactly. It is about political will, and I can't help contrasting it to you know, some of the things we see out of Washington State Governor Jay Inslee, who's been so aggressive about pushing for more clean energy. He's being resisted by his legislature, but he basically says, you know, we've got to do this and we have got to, you know, invest our political will, invest our focus in going all in on clean energy. The contrast between the governor on the West Coast and the governors on the East Coast.
Yeah, well, more on that later. I guess the last point I would remind listeners is that the other unhappy thing that Governor Baker has done here in Massachusetts is to put out an executive order that basically calls for the review of all state regulations, that is to say all the implementations of, say, environmental laws, and requires that none of those state written regulations be any more aggressive than the federal regulations, which is a huge step backwards for Massachusetts's environmental leadership. And I think in tandem, that sort of aggressive proposal in tandem with this, you know, we'll sit pat with old-fashioned technology of building pipelines to bring natural gas in, those do not bode well for the long-term historical legacy of the governor, I'm afraid.
And I can't help noting the ironic paragraph in this in an April 23rd piece in the Boston Herald where Baker is quoted as saying that he supports the carbon emission reduction goals developed under former Governor Deval Patrick, despite his support for increased natural gas capacity. And I thought to myself, talk about the most contradictory paragraph ever written. Basically, it's, you know, it's like somebody supporting death and life.
Hey, inconsistent. What is it? Consistency is the hobgoblin of
small minds.
Consistently
inconsistent.
You and I are just exactly, not able to exactly. keep up with the brilliance of our leadership. But DR, exactly. you mentioned Governor Inslee out in Washington State, right? Who is in fact another governor who is in. Who has a vision for the future and is pushing it. But there's a very large state out in the western part of the United States, shall we say the left coast of the United States, which has been undergoing a tremendous drought over the last 3 or 4 years. And Governor Brown recently made some pretty profound, an executive order of his own, didn't he?
Yes, he issued an executive order on April the 29th, according to the New York Times, calling for the speeding up of the state's already ambitious program aimed at cutting greenhouse gas emissions. The order was intended as a jolt to a landmark 2006 environmental law, the California Global Warming Solutions Act, requiring an 80% cut in greenhouse gas reductions by 2050 compared with 1990. Under the executive order, the state would have to get halfway there, a 40% reduction by 2030. And Jerry Brown said that, you know, he's trying to prod the energy industry to sort of get its act together and to hurry up and to get as much clean energy and non-carbon based energy online as soon as possible, especially in a state that, as you mentioned before, is basically dying from drought.
Yeah, the part that I saw, I think directly contrasted what we're seeing here in New England, is that Governor Brown is said to be a little bit short on his specifics, but basically is committed to having renewable energies carry the bulk of that improvement in the carbon emissions, and that's the path forward is to build presumably more solar panels, more of everything green that we like. But one of the
go ahead. And it didn't really get a lot of play in the press coverage, but when you note how large California's economy is, you have to think that this is a bit of momentum for Paris, that this is a sign that at least some portions of the United States are willing to sort of, you know, cooperate in terms of pursuing an international goal of reducing emissions, that some portions of the United States aren't willing to stick two middle fingers in the faces of future generations, that some portions of the United States are willing to get their act together and show some moral responsibility.
Other parts,
not so much, but some parts of the country, they understand.
Yeah, I mean, if California was an independent country, I think it would be the 11th biggest economy in the world. I mean, it's a big deal.
I believe
it's
so,
a
yes.
Big deal. But what the point I was going to make was that beyond this, the 40% reduction is really nice, okay? It's a great thing. But all politicians, and you have to look at the fine print of these plans. What Brown has proposed is a 40% reduction in carbon emissions from the 1990 levels. That is to say, the levels in 1990, which is now 25 years ago, they're going to go 40% below that. Whereas if you look at the Obama plan, we're going to go 30% below the, I guess it's the 2015 levels, no, 2014 levels, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a much more generous, much more lax starting place. And so again, it's to California's credit to be way out ahead of the curve. The 1990 date, so 1990 is your baseline that you're going to reduce from. That harkens all the way back to George H.W. Bush in the famous Rio Treaty back then. That's what they were setting baseline, saying this is what we got to reduce from. Mm-hmm. So good on Governor Brown.
And how interesting is it that Brown wants to be more aggressive than the federal government? Meanwhile, Charlie Baker is implying that we should be less aggressive.
No more aggressive than the federal government.
No more aggressive than the federal government. Well, what if the federal government is being lax? You know, maybe the states ought to be more aggressive instead of being just as lax as the federal government.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole idea
again,
that Massachusetts should be... Say again,
so
I'm sorry.
I said it's an example of forward thinking versus not so forward thinking.
I keep coming back to the idea that the states are the laboratories of democracy, as some Supreme Court Justice mm-hmm. said that, right? The states get to try things out. And the regional greenhouse gas initiative here has been a success. The Massachusetts health care has been a success. It was a model for the nation. People try stuff. I think that Governor Inslee out on the West Coast may be leading the charge in getting a carbon tax in place, right? These are all good things, because then you can look and say, well, I like 50% of that, and I'm going to take these features at the federal level, and the rest of that stuff didn't work, so we're going to find a better way to do it at the federal level. So the states are wonderful opportunities for climate hawks to get out and do things, because you're setting a pattern for the rest of the country, right?
Mm-hmm. You see the difference between a state of action and a state of de facto denial.
Well, dear, we're going to leave it here. We'll tell our listeners that they can check out the links to most of what we've discussed here at our blog. It's a WordPress blog, massclimateaction.wordpress.com. Please leave us a comment. Tell us what you think we ought to be talking about, or send us an email to comment@massclimateaction.net. You can find us on Facebook. It's /massclimateaction. And if you go there, please share our show, like the show, share the show, and let your friends find out about us. Of course, you can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher. You can find us on iTunes by searching for Massachusetts Climate Action. Please subscribe. Again, it pushes our numbers up. And that's a good thing, because the more people who learn about climate issues, the better off we all are. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. Thank you very much, DR. And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.